It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
Hey, let's talk about your computer if you still have one. I guess a cell phone is a computer, but I'm talking about your desktop computer or your laptop computer.
I think most people still have one.
You know, Windows, they're having their birthday because they say in 1985, Windows 1.0 was released.
Oh,
1.0
yeah.
was released. Yeah, it was called Windows 1.0 or 0, Tom?
Well, it's a 0, but you can say it however you want to say it.
Okay. Because that's how many minutes it ran without crashing.
I have no idea. I remember when Windows finally came out with 3.0, and that was a really big deal. That was like the first Windows that was really good.
Oh, wow. Okay, so...
That was many years later.
I'm kind of curious how many computers you have had in your lifetime. Because if I count mine, I may have had 3 computers. Like, I'm talking about desktop. Well, you know what? And laptops, too. So maybe 5.
You're not our normal person when it comes to that.
Okay, I know, but you are overly normal in that area.
I probably have at least a half dozen in my house right now.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, I got 2 kids.
Yeah, well.
And I got old ones laying around that are just, I don't want to get rid of them.
You probably had 50 computers.
I don't know about 50.
25?
Probably 20.
Okay. Tori, how many have you had in your lifetime?
Desktop computers, 0.
Both.
2 laptops.
Okay.
2?
Mm-hmm.
Dang, you guys punish yourselves, though. Because you work on a computer that's so old that it's
that's
slow.
True.
I can't do that.
Not really. I just do everything from my phone.
Well, that's not super fast all the time either.
Yeah.
I mean, a good desktop computer zips through stuff, or a good laptop.
Works for me.
Okay. I know. I'm just saying, it's got to be tedious to sit there and watch that hourglass all the time.
All right, Cato, how many you have?
I'm on my 3rd one I bought.
Okay.
And it works, Tori.
It works perfectly fine.
Okay, now here's another question people are talking about today. Do you name your PC or your computer?
I call it a lot of names when it's messing up.
Yeah. When you're trying to reboot that page.
You know why it's messing up so much? Because it's old.
Well, no, my laptop now is actually very new. But
okay. Yeah,
well, a lot of people actually name their computers.
I mean, you're supposed to name it for Windows because they want to know which one's on the network. But as far as like a Betsy or something, I don't do that.
Okay, so that's what I'm talking about. They actually name the inanimate object. So I have not named my computer or my cell phone. I mean, do you know anybody that's named their cell phone?
That sounds dumb to me.
You think about it, though. People often do this.
Really?
It's called personal connection. Naming an object creates a deeper emotional bond, allowing people to feel more attached to it and view it as more than just a material possession.
So have y'all seen the pregnancy pillows that are like the big U?
Yeah, I mean, I know what the like the body pillows and stuff.
I threw John off the other day because I was like, will you move Patricia? And he was like, who are you talking about?
Wow.
And I was like, Patricia, the pregnancy pillow. Move her, please. She's in my way.
Now, that's kind of funny.
That's Thank weird.
You. Yeah.
Cato, you got a body pillow. You ain't named it?
No, I like.
Let's just do
that. That way we don't get too connected. I don't want to have to. I'm not in a relationship.
He doesn't want his body pillow to think it has any kind of rights or anything.
Well, most common things that we name, obviously, our car. You've heard guys. And I think guys do it more than girls. But it's like Betty or the Beast. You know, your truck's the Beast. Whatever.
I had a friend who named, he had a Nova with a bunch of racing stuff, and he called it Animal.
Uh-huh.
Which was kind of okay, I guess.
I had a friend, and she named her car the Rocket when she was in college, because it was big, long. It was like a big cruise.
Yeah. You know, back then, we drove cars that our parents gave us that were embarrassing. Yeah. A friend of mine had the Nova, bright cherry apple red. Is that what
Candy
you call it?
Candy apple red.
Candy apple red. She called it the love machine.
Now, my same friend that had Animal also had his mom's station wagon, and they called it the sled.
There you go.
Because it was just a giant.
Oh, that's funny.
I mean, it held, we'd like get 18 people in it if you got people on the roof.
And I guess boats, obviously. A lot of people
name boats.
You put it on there. Yeah, and it's normally a she, right? What kind of gender is like your car or your boat? Have you ever thought about that?
Oh, I don't know. My friend's is Boatwiser.
That's funny.
I noticed a lot of people do that, and I was doing that too. Like, all my cars were all girls, so for my Roomba I named him Ronald, just to spice it up a little bit.
Oh, okay.
We named our Stew the stupid Roomba, because it was done. It goes in the dumbest directions.
They are so dumb, and it'll be like, Ronald's hanging off a cliff, and I'm like, dude, you're on the carpet, you're fine.
There you go. Your favorite furniture or chairs? I guess guys are naming their favorite chair.
I don't know how you'd go about that.
It's kind of weird. Musical instruments. A lot of times you'll hear like the guitar players, they'll name their guitars, those famous blues. It's like, that's my so-and-so. I don't know if you do that with band instruments or not.
That's a great example.
Well, I didn't. Well, I know B.B. King had one, and I forgot what. Well, it might have been Betty or something like that.
Well, wouldn't a guitarist have multiple guitars that they would use? So you'd have to name them so the backup guy would know which one to grab.
Absolutely.
Go get Betty.
Instead of go get my Fender Ultra or go get my Les Paul from Gibson or whatever, you just say, get Betty.
Yeah.
Household items like favorite coffee mugs and stuff like that, people name those.
Oh, people. That's getting kind of weird.
Stuffed animals, that's obvious. How about a pair of shoes? You name like your pair of shoes. It could be like twins.
I never thought about it, but I might now.
Men also name their tools, like in the garage.
What? Oh, in the garage.
Yes, exactly.
Kato, now that's true. Men do.
But you know, that's a lot of tools. Women, that's a lot of shoes to have names to keep up
with. I kind
of
agree with you, man.
All right, Tori, in line with what you were talking about, old blankets or something that you grew up with, like Blankie or whatever, Snuggie or...
I mean, are those names? That's literally the product's designation. I mean,
well, if it's an official Snuggie and it's licensed, and you know,
or Blankie for blanket.
Yeah. Well, I know, but they do name them.
That's not really a name.
Sarah the Snuggie.
Now that would be a name.
But that's mainly what people name. They say it often. Names are linked to specific memories, experiences, or even people, making an object a reminder of those things as well. You might name, you know, some kind of, I don't know, something special to you after your grandma. Like, oh, you know, that's old Opal Glow. That was my granny's name.
Old Maybell.
Yeah. And by giving a name, individuals feel a stronger sense of ownership and care towards that object if it's important to you.
See, I name my car, and I wash it about twice a year. I will say everybody compliments the inside, because the only part that's dirty is the floorboard where the driver's seat is, because no one's ever in my car but me.
What do you name it, Pigpen?
Huh? No. It's Betsy.
Betsy. Oh, and she's...
I mean, I don't know where that came from. I think that's what my parents named one of their cars. Yeah. Maybe the one I learned to drive in when I was 12.
Maybe you should rename it Stinky.
It's not stinking.
Okay.
There's nothing in my car. No water bottles, no French fries, no.
That's why I said Pigpen, because it's just dirty on the outside.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, you know, the cartoon character.
Yeah, I know. Pigpen.
Okay,
peanuts.
I was making sure.
It's not dirty now because it rained.
I wasn't trying to be, like, mean about it. I was just trying to think of a good name.
Well, that wasn't.
Well, I mean, Betsy had already had a name. I didn't realize.
I'd call it Charlie.
Feel free to name whatever you want to. It's up to you.
It's weird, though.
We won't judge.
I judge.
Okay, Tom will judge, but he's the only one, okay?
No, I will, too.
All right, Kato's going to judge. Apparently, a lot of people judge if you're naming weird objects.
We'll be behind you back then.
Yeah.
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
It is that time of year whenever we start thinking about doing good for others, because we're supposed to be giving thanks.
Okay.
Why are you laughing?
It's like we got this one day we can give thanks and be doing good for people this one day.
Well, I didn't say that. I said that time of year whenever you start thinking about doing good for people.
Yeah, this one day.
Thanksgiving is coming up.
We'll
and
get
so
we'll
you
get through it.
You get through this. It's different for different people, though. 43% of Americans say they're planning on doing more good deeds now to make up for the previous parts of the year where they didn't feel like doing as much. Mm. So they're going to be doing more volunteering or donating right now. Now, this also differs by your age range. 60% of Gen Z and millennials plan on doing more good during these holiday months, compared to only 37% of Gen X and boomers. Now, I'm Gen X, so I'm kind of in that crowd. I look at the taxes. I just got my tax bill for my house, and I'm like, I'm doing a lot of good already.
Yeah.
A whole lot of good.
Yeah, for the museum, the art gallery, the schools. Greenville County schools. I don't even have kids in
I don't
school.
Mind chipping in for those things. I mind how much it seems to be.
Yeah.
I'm like, I feel like I'm carrying a heavy load of that weight for some reason.
And I do say, if you want to leave a pothole or two and make my taxes cheaper, I'll dodge those potholes.
You say that till you hit one and your car ends up having to have your tire replaced.
Thing is, we already paid taxes to have the roads repaired. Yeah. They're just not doing
it. Exactly. Oh. And Kato, you mentioned the art museum. I think it's great that we have one, but how much money from every single person does it get?
Yeah, just charge to get in.
Yeah, that art doesn't change, right? It's not like they're buying
a whole bunch
of new stuff.
They
all
buy
the time.
And sell stuff all the time for like millions or hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Well, if they're selling it for that much, then why they need my money?
They got to buy more expensive stuff.
Ugh. Yeah. Don't they have knockoffs?
I mean,
go to the Jockey Lot. Get your art.
I really like the art museum. I think it's awesome. But I've probably been 3 or 4 times in my life, and I've paid a lot of money for it. It kind of makes sense to do the charge it when you go in or something,
that's
right?
People that actually want to.
And you
go.
Mentioned schools. With schools, you pay when you don't have kids. You pay when you, like for me, I had my kids for the first 5 years. We put them into Shannon Forest, what it was at the time. So I was paying for private school and for the public schools. Then I've got a few years where I'm paying my dues and my kids are in school. That's great. But they're going to graduate soon, go off to college where I will pay again, and I'll still be paying for public schools. Yeah. You pay your whole life for something you only use for maybe 10 years.
And I never really learned anything.
That's true, Katie. You should get a refund.
I should. But I mean, my car taxes I just paid. Over half of those taxes were for Greenwood.
That's what
schools.
Most of our property tax on our cars goes to.
I thought we were supposed to be giving thanks and doing good right now.
Well, that's why I'm sitting out here. That's why I think a lot of the boomers and the Gen X, they're like, I already do a lot of good, or at least they say they're doing good with my money.
I do really good because I round up every time I'm at Harris Teeter.
Okay, that's
I round
very
up that
good,
5 cents.
Kato. If you do that all year long, I think you're good.
Okay, thank you.
But they say that the younger generations also claim they did more for charity throughout the year, and they give themselves an A compared to the older folks. Now, I am not big on volunteering. I'm too lazy, I'll be honest. I'd rather donate. If I'm given the choice between the two, I'd rather give you some of my money. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
And that's funny because I am too poor to donate. So I volunteer.
Yeah, well, here's the way I look at it is, all right, I used my time to earn the money. Doing something I enjoyed doing. Now, I will give that money to you. So basically, I was volunteering when I worked at the radio station, and I'm donating that volunteerism to you through my money. Whereas I don't want to go out and do some of the volunteer things. I'd rather just pay.
Well, that's okay.
I think so, too.
I mean, like Tori said, there's people that want to volunteer their time.
Don't have the option to donate the money.
Same thing goes with, room moms at school and stuff.
Right.
You got some room moms got plenty of time to do, bring the cupcakes and the paper plates and all the balloons and stuff and put them up in the class. But
that's my wife. Yeah. I volunteer her time.
Yes.
So that's another way I help out.
Yeah. But they also ask you to donate to that. So
and I do that.
Moms can do extra.
And for those who won't donate or won't volunteer their time, I will help promote your event on my Facebook page.
Okay.
I usually once a year around Thanksgiving, a friend of mine's job would stuff boxes, hundreds of boxes for the needy. And every year I help them with that, but I don't know if they're doing it this year. I haven't heard.
You know what? I stuff myself during Thanksgiving season.
And Kato, like you said, you give all that money in taxes, and they've already taken our tax money and used it for stuff that I would quite consider charity, or at least helping others out.
Right.
So it's like, I'm not saying you shouldn't do any of these things, because you certainly should. And I will tell you a little secret, too. You'll feel better about yourself when you do. I've done some stuff in the past when I was younger that I did help people out in ways that you walk away from that feeling good. So there are benefits to yourself for doing it, too. But I get the same benefit from donating. Personally, I'm like, if I give my time money instead of my time, I still feel good about myself.
Okay. Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah.
Well, what? Now, you laugh at that. What's wrong with it?
Well, you're focused on about feeling good about yourself.
No, I'm not focused on it. That was the last thing I brought up.
I feel good about myself.
I brought it up as the end, as another bonus you get from it.
You know what? I can't judge, because selfishly, that's why I work with the animals all the time, so I can pet them.
You calling us animals?
Yes, all three of you.
Yes.
Well, anyway, it sounds like that some of the Gen X and the boomers, maybe we need to step up a little bit.
Yeah. Tom just peed in the floor.
I'm not cleaning it again. Y'all are all housebroken at this point.
No, we ain't.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
What in the world is wrong with some of you people out there?
I know.
I don't talk about the guys mainly because this is what I see. I see chewing gum in the urinal. That's a pet peeve of mine because I'm like, there's someone spit their gum out in the urinal and then the person's got to come up, the cleaners of the business or whatever, and put their hand in there.
No, they don't. They use gloves. They're not like touching it with their bare hands.
What does the glove go on?
But they're not getting their bare hands on it.
You have to take their hands off with a glove anyway. It's gross.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't think it's a good thing to do, but it's not like a pet peeve. I don't sit there and freak out when I see it.
I just get mad because the flavor's all gone.
Oh. Oh, and it's got new flavor, Kato.
It's like a little Debbie Urinal cake right there. That is.
Ooh. I get annoyed by it. It's like, or you see paper towels in there.
Okay,
or
that's,
beer can. I mean,
that's pretty extreme.
Cigarette butts. But, and it's like, come on.
How old are you?
I know.
Someone's got to clean up after you.
Here. You know how the bathrooms look here? There's pee in front of the toilet. I'm like, how can a grown man miss a toilet?
You shouldn't be allowed to use the bathroom if you can't ring it. You just should have to hold it all day.
Well, sometimes it's not our fault.
What'd you say, ring it?
You're the one who just said, is how do they do that, and now you're telling us how.
But I mean, when you got a whole puddle in front of the, I mean, it's not just sprinkles.
Okay,
so.
Sprinkles. Make it sound like something on top of a little Debbie cake.
Don't keep magazines beside your toilet at your home if you're having a party.
Splashes.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, or tell your guys to STP.
Yep, I will.
So, you know what? They're like 14% of people confess that they sometimes stick like their gum to furniture, like underneath a desk at school. You know, you've seen that before when you're in school.
Yeah.
They had like gum underneath there. Or you go to like a restaurant and someone's put gum underneath the table.
It makes sense at school. The kid's like, oh no, the teacher's going to call us out. They're looking for gum. I'm going to hide it real fast. You could understand why a kid in school might stuff it there real fast to keep from getting in trouble.
Okay.
But at a restaurant, that's stupid. You put it on the side of your plate, you could wrap it in a napkin, there's a million places.
What do you do with yours? When you're chewing gum, you're smacking that gum and all of a sudden the flavor's gone. Like, okay. I always keep a piece of paper. I keep the paper that it came in, normally.
I don't chew gum.
Oh, really?
I really don't. I've had like 2 pieces in the last 10 years.
I don't much anymore because of my dental work.
But usually if I'm in a car, I'll just out the window.
That's wrong.
Now I step
on the car beside me.
I know, or it's on my tire. I got to clean off my tire.
How do you see it on your tire?
Because I go home and all of a sudden I'm like,
it's got a pink tire.
Yes.
Well, that's pretty.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. You know what the worst thing is you're calling other people out and then you tell us you do that.
Because it's nasty in a urinal.
It's nasty on the side of the road.
It's pretty.
You know what's worse?
It's environmental. You know, the possums might want to chew a little bit.
Yeah, possum blowing a bubble.
We said dead possums on the side of the road. They didn't get hit by a car. They ate Kato's chewing gum.
No, they were stuck in his chewing gum. The car came over and went boom, boom. Can't get out of this bubble gum. Oh, it's hubba bubba.
You're a terrible person.
Yeah, and you know what? There's nothing worse than stepping in gum. Like someone, they get out of their car at, let's say, Cole's parking lot or some parking lot, and you step in it.
Yeah,
and it takes you forever to get it off. First of all, you got to wash it. Then you got to get that, that goo goo gum.
Scraping in some dirt and stuff.
No, I don't want any remnants of somebody's nasty bubble gum on my shoe.
That's because you wear your shoes in your house because you're dirty.
I will say I don't spit it out in parking lots. That's where people are walking.
Thank you,
Kato. On the road.
You're a good person.
Well, for the most part, gum chewers are law-abiding, half profess to wrap their leftovers, stick it in a piece of paper, and then throw it away somewhere. Some people admit to putting it in like plant pots or something. Like if they're at the hospital, there's a plant right there. They're putting their bubble gum or chewing gum in there.
I mean, come on. Go to the trash can.
Yes, exactly. Well, but you can't find one sometimes.
If you think about it, it's kind of like a urinal.
All right.
I was thinking the same thing.
Oh, my gosh. I just got it.
And Kato, 16%, just toss it in the street.
So you say that's okay, but what about the people you see walking on the side of the street?
I don't do it at crosswalks, and I don't toss it.
That sound effect is on point.
Yes, it is. There's a piece of gum on the floor now.
I keep getting hit by stray spit, but it's fine. It sounds so legit.
Well, 9% of us swallow our chewing gum.
My mama told me that makes my gum or something stick to my inside. So
for 7 years or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, 7 years of bad luck and stay away from ladders and all that. Mm-hmm. It's
well,
all
if you got,
I feel dumber now.
I know.
Me too.
I want a piece of gum.
If you swallow it though, and you go into the bathroom, and there's a bubble down there, there's a problem.
You're a pop.
Now that's something I do a lot, and I wonder if anyone else
what,
does.
What blows bubbles with your butt?
Whenever you are at the toilet and you're peeing,
what?
When you make a big bubble with your gum and toss it into the toilet, so when it flushes, it goes round and round and round before it goes down.
It's like a little sinking ship, huh?
It's pretty fun.
I've never done that.
Oh, it's so much fun.
I'll be honest, I want to now.
It doesn't hurt anything.
Yeah.
But, as long as it pops.
But, well, I mean, would you have to get a plumber because you got bubble gum stuck in your toilet?
You do it at work. It doesn't matter.
Oh, okay. We don't do that at home.
No. It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.